the seven trumpets, the three woes, and the seven vials, part 4. This message was preached by Brother Amos on the evening of Sunday, the 8th of August 2021, in the waiting services of Bible Faith Tabernacle in Lagos, Nigeria. With this fourth segment of this five-part message, the pages of the Holy Bible, God's Holy Word, is surely being gleamed, giving the understanding of the word bride, illustrious, bright, most assured, easy to perceive, and completely transparent finish. Praise be to God. Greetings to each and everyone in the name of the Lord. It is always a joy to gather around the Word of God with God's elect remnant people as we seek at the footstool of the Master, our Lord Jesus Christ. May God bless you all, and may He bless all the saints online, and give us a good internet connection. I was told the connection this morning was good, so we thank God for that, and we are trusting God it will be the same this evening. You have to understand that when there is a problem, one distraction or the other, but God's will always prevails, the Lord being sovereign. Kindly pray for me this evening, that the Lord will help me. Shall we pray? Brother Amos prayed. I once again greet everyone, church, as I sat there, and I just looked at the church, I was somewhat touched as my brother sang. This is the first time we have gathered as a full church since the COVID-19 shutdown came into force between March-April last year, 2020, and it is only because we do not have the facilities, a spacious hall, where we can enforce social distancing, and still have a full capacity attendance of our local church members. This is all because we are people of lean means, financially, and that is the truth. Consequently, only a few brethren are able to attend each church service because of the coronavirus restrictions. We do not have a hall space like this present hall we are renting for these meetings, so we can hold a full capacity church service as we normally do. And to think that it is just a women's wing of the Anglican Church that owns this entire complex, just as another of their women's wing also owns the entire complex we normally use for our conventions. However, brothers and sisters, we must see that that is just how God works, for God hides Himself in lowliness and in simplicity, and reveals Himself in lowliness and in simplicity. The ways of God are unfathomable. The unbelievers, people who are unrevelated, people who have no understanding of the ways of our God, will surely say, how can God be in what you are doing, and yet, you are so limited financially, you can hardly do anything. I must say the truth has always struggled with having a roof over its head, which was why the Messiah, the promised Son of God, was born in a manger, a stable, the lowliest and humblest place you can think of, for it cannot get lower than that. In total contrast, brothers and sisters, it is error, untruth, falsehood, that has so much headroom that it does not even know what to do with the space, until there is so much space, so many buildings, so many properties of religious institutions lying completely derelict, unused, desolate around the globe, because they have been abandoned. When men peddle spiritual vanity, something that is spiritually worthless, having no soul-saving value or virtue, being completely anti-truth, anti-word, they have so much money, so much financial support, they do not even know what to do with the money, until they are acquiring jet spins, two or three jets, so they can preach a gospel of sorts, where they peddle otitamirot. Brothers and sisters, I suppose when they cross over to the other side to meet their Maker, they will also need those jets. A serious question we must ask, and a very bitter question at that, is this: exactly what are they giving the people for such colossal financial support? What are they giving their souls, except their Antichrist teachings, a most carnal and spiritually vitiless and completely worthless material message of prosperity, a message of mammon? What are they giving to the souls of their people? They give absolutely nothing but lies, blatant lies, sheer deception. The ways of God are very simple and humble, for He is a humble and simple God, who walks and moves in humble and simple ways. Next Tuesday, we are reverting back to rotation for live church service attendances, but it is well. And truly, it is well, for it is all just for a while, And God makes things beautiful in His own time. God sets the pace, for this is about His kingdom, and we will let Him set the pace, as He alone mapped this way, and He alone knows the way. This is a way we have never walked before. Therefore, we will just keep praying and keep looking to Him for leadership and for His help, knowing in our hearts that of all men in this last age and at this very junction of time, we are most blessed. No, I do not expect the world to see that or to accept that, but notwithstanding, we know that of all men, we are most blessed, for our portion is a goodly one, an immeasurable goodly one. The Lord has given us a most glorious heritage, and our heritage is in the light of Jesus Christ. Therefore, brothers and sisters, let me say this, what God is doing for us today is simply marvelous, because we are looking at a very great prophetic issue, a major prophetic revelation, which Jesus Christ gave to the world bride of this evening time, to post us ahead, giving us highly privileged prophetic information, classified divine information. We do not expect the world, the religious world, to see anything in what we are doing here today, what the Spirit of God is unveiling today, directly from the pages of the Holy Bible. For of a truth, the spirit of the eagle is still flying. Revelation 4 verse 7. Fresh light, fresh carcass, fresh manna is still coming out from the pages of the Holy Scriptures, as the Lord ever expresses the continuous light He promised in Proverbs 4 verse 18. And may the name of the Lord be praised for His utter faithfulness, abundant goodness, undeserved love, and exceeding mercy towards us. The religious world will wonder, though, thinking, what is the big deal in what you people are doing? They do not understand that these are the deep and precious things of the Spirit of Christ, things which are of immeasurable value, most precious, and extremely priceless. The religious world do not understand, they just cannot understand, and neither are they going to understand the very reason we are rejoicing in the light, for these things mean absolutely nothing to them. To us, this is more than life, much more than this mortal life, for these are the invaluable, enormously priceless, and immensely precious revelations of Jesus Christ, things that are totally hidden from the wise and prudent of this world, the so-called doctors of divinity, and prophecies of ignorance, the great and renowned theologians of this world, things that God has ordained before the foundation of the world, for the glorification of the end-time bride of Christ. These are the things God has revealed unto babes, like us, such as would learn. Luke 10 verse 21. This is strictly Holy Bible terrain, and we are the real Bible believers, and sticklers for the Word of God. We believe nothing but the Holy Scriptures. We stand for nothing but the Holy Scriptures. We accept nothing but the Holy Scriptures. And God helping us, we will peddle nothing but the Holy Scriptures, the Word of God. Do you know why this is happening today, right at this particular junction of time? You have to understand, brothers and sisters, that the Lord's move of revelatory unity, being an ending move, has to carry every last piece of the puzzle of the Word of God, every revelational piece of God's revealed plan of universal redemption. God's sending Gentile move has to carry a complete revelational picture of Jesus Christ in order to give not only revelatory unity, but also to give completeness of revelation to the royal bride of Jesus Christ, the royal king. As such, the presentation of the Word of God in this third and final junction of time has to be absolutely wholesome and complete. It just has to be pure, without any traditional ideas and carnal conceptions of truth, because nothing but absolute truth, in its absolute depth and in its outreachness, revealed truth in its completeness, can reproduce the Word Bride, who is a virgin of the Word. Nothing else can reproduce the elect Word Bride, but the complete, pure, wholesome, and unadulterated Word of God, the truth of God, which is conveyed in its undiluted richness, absolute depth, utter clarity, and in simplicity. Only this can produce the elect lady, the original seed Word Bride, and she is most certainly coming out of obscurity into the limelight. Therefore, I exhort each and every one of you, let us stay sincerely and faithfully with the truth, the Word of God, and we will see the glory of God. I say all that just as a word of encouragement, although we should know what the Lord has done for us, and the graciousness of God to us. Let us, therefore, be grateful, and offer the sacrifices of thanksgiving to God, for the Lord has been good to us, above all men in this very day and hour. And that is the honest truth. Church, before we open up the Holy Bible, in order to lay out the seven vials, let me first say a few things. There is coming a day, a great day, when Jesus Christ, whom the world denies exists, a Savior they think is a mere memory, a man of history, a day when the Holy Bible they have condemned, trampled on, made fun of, and outlawed, a day when God the Creator, whose face they have impudently spat on, whose name they have blasphemed, and whose existence they have denied, a day when the Christians they have consistently persecuted and demonized, is a day when something will suddenly happen, and they will realize in the day that they are wrong, terribly wrong. I say all that because tonight we are going to see the day of the Lord opened up in a picturesque way in the vials. Brothers and sisters, as I stated earlier, God had to shed light on the seven trumpets in relation to the three woes, in order to give clarity to truth, and to remove all traditional ideas we have been given, so we can hold to nothing but absolute revealed truth. And if this is the ending move, and we know of a scriptural certainty that it is, then we have got to have the absolute balance, the complete balance of the revelational pieces, of the Lord's prophetic puzzle on these subjects of the Holy Scriptures, so that as a word bride, we may have a complete and perfect revelational picture. Thus, the ending ministry of the lead apostle John, the third and final household scribe of Matthew 13, verse 52, scripturally speaking, must have all the Bible truths of the first scribe, Elijah the prophet, also, all the Bible truths of the second scribe, the apostle Paul, plus the balance of Bible truths of Jesus Christ that their message did not touch, constituting the present truth, new truths, giving us the continuing climax in and concluding Bible message of Jesus Christ for the universal nation of the word bride. This complete and perfect and faultless revelational picture of the Holy Scriptures is solely what can reproduce the elect royal bride. That is the precise reason why God Almighty and Jesus Christ gave John the entire scroll of redemption for his total consumption in Revelation 10, verse 8 to 11, prophetically and clearly showing to the true bride that the perfectness of Revelation, or the absolute purity of Revelation, and the completeness of Revelation, is in John. Consequently, when it comes to the terrain of the Holy Bible in the hour of John, you can go no further and no higher. It is not about the man, it is about the Lord's ending plan of redemption, and it is either you see it or you do not. Period. If you cannot see the plot, the revealed ministry plot of God in this Laodicean age, I cannot help you. For just as we have brought out in the scribe, titled, Just Before the Crossing Over, and as we have also brought out in the scribe, titled, Before There Was Moses and Elijah, whatever has a beginning also has to have an end. For God always uses human vessels in accomplishing His great plan of redemption, whether it is for the nation of Israel or for the universal nation of the bride. To begin His move for the redemption of the universal Gentile bride, God had a chosen vessel, Apostle Paul, and to end it, He also has to have a vessel, and He absolutely does have a chosen vessel, and it is another apostle, who is John. Revelation 10, verses 8 to 11. In the contended data, July 1977, titled The Apostle's Office, Part 3, under the subtitle, No One Understands, the chief apostle made some serious declarations, speaking about William Branham. Brother Jackson stated, He came on the scene, and his life and ministry was used by God to pull down many of Satan's strongholds, while calling the people of God out of Babylon. Now he has left the scene, to return no more unto the apostles Paul, Peter, James, John and all the rest return at the resurrection of all the sleeping bride saints, even in spite of the hopes that so many of his followers still hold for a special resurrection. His ministry and calling of God was to turn our people back to the apostolic way that the Bible teaches. We would have to say that he fulfilled the calling. There is a people on the earth today that has been turned back to the Bible. But the greater percentage of the people that followed his ministry have given themselves over to a spirit that is more deadly than the one they were delivered from. Idolatry, after having heard the truth, is worse than the pagan practices we were mixed up in before. Nevertheless, Brother Branham cannot be blamed for that any more than the Apostle Paul can be blamed for the Nicene Council and Roman Catholicism that came out of it. A man can only do what he is called to do. Brother Branham was not called to hold a line on the word throughout the rest of the grace age. His calling was to deliver a message that the fivefold ministry will stand by as the age closes out. It will be that ministry that holds the true revelation for the bride of Christ. Continuing under the subtitle, Book of Acts Not Completed, Brother Jackson declared emphatically, the bride will accept the biblical fivefold ministry in the end time, but she is the only people who will. She will love it, hunger for it, and cherish it. She will delight in the office of an apostle to guide her through her testings, but the movement that follows a messenger to this age will never accept any man as an apostle. It wouldn't matter if he was 7 feet, 2 inches tall, with a degree a mile long. That movement will never accept an apostle's office. You ask why? It is because they are just like all other systems. They put a period at the end of what Brother Branham said, just like every denomination did when their leader passed on. That closes the book for them. What they fail to realize is that the messenger to the age was to put us back in the Bible, and especially back in the book of Acts, which is still an open book. You will not find any, amen, where the book of Acts leaves off in the Bible. That is because God has not finished writing the Acts of the Apostles. This is a truth we have laid out in our scribe titled, The Acts of the Apostles, writing the last chapter. Brother Jackson concluded, saying, that is why I say that it will take the office of an apostle to straighten this message out, and the fivefold ministry to preach it, for those who follow the system that has formed from this message have perverted and polluted it beyond recognition. This absolute message clarity is precisely what the lead apostolic ministry of John gives us. It is not man's choice, but it God's choice. And even if you do not agree, it does not make a difference to God's plan, because God simply moves on with his plan and leaves all unbelievers behind, disbelieving it. Truth is marching on, and it will always continue to march on, for as it is infallibly written in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, and upon this rock of the divine revelation of Jesus Christ, the rock of revealed truth, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Full stop. This declaration was true yesterday, it is true today, and it is true forever. Absolutely. This is why I said during the morning session, brothers and sisters, that the divine input of this ending ministry had to devolve upon this great and major prophetic subject of the Word of God, because he's expected to straighten out everything that needs straightening out, projections that need to be fine-tuned revelationally, as well as to fill in the gaps, revelational gaps, so that the elect universal bride can hold to nothing but absolute truth, pure revealed truth, with no traditions and no kind of conceptions of truth. We must just understand preeminence and great responsibility lays in the ending ministry, for the Lord expects him to ensure that the picture is presented in absolute simplicity, that it is scripture perfect, crystal clear, and complete, entire, lacking and wanting nothing. Why is this so, you may ask? It is because we are not leaving this world without knowing what lays in the book of Revelation, in its nitty-gritty prophetic details, to the complete detailed measure it was written to us, from way back in 96 AD. For it was not written to us for nothing. Consequently, it will be an open book for the word bride, and tonight, with the three woes unveiled, the apocalypse is now an open book, and to God be all the glory, for it is his doing. If you claim that it is not an open book, then I challenge you, bring your questions, your legitimate questions, not foolish questions, not irrelevancies, or nonsensical things you think are questions, but bring your legitimate questions on the book of Revelation, and I will give you its perfect Bible answer. And it is all by the divine enablement of God's sheer grace. for I know next to nothing. The fact is, brothers and sisters, we are not running from anyone on issues of the Word of God, for this is our terrain. May I even add, and you can take it any way you want, when it comes to the revelation of the Holy Bible, you are on our turf, for you are on the turf of apostles, true original class of apostles. When it comes to the revelation of the Holy Scriptures, you are on my turf. I say that under God, because I am just a man, just a mortal, but I say it nonetheless, because the Lord in His sovereign elective love and mercy has made me an apostle, the lead apostle, charged with the responsibility of guarding the Word of God. It is not to preach money, mammon, material prosperity, but to preach the Word of life, the message of life, to get the Word bride ready for the soon return of Jesus Christ, walking together with all the other men occupying the original Ephesian ministry, because Jesus Christ's return is now at the doors. This move is all about the rapture, for this is the ending move, the move that leads directly into the rapture. And as I must continue to reiterate, everything that has a beginning point, a beginning ministry point, also has an ending ministry point. Take it or leave it, the truth remains the truth. And truth will bear its fruits, leading to eternal life. Truth has its fruits, its evident fruits, but the crucial question is, can you see it? Can you see the evident fruits of truth, revealed truth? That is the issue. Saints of God, horrible times are ahead for this extremely evil world, in the last week of Daniel, but the crowning of it all is the day of the Lord. That is the very end of the world, right under the seventh trumpet, the third woe, and the sixth seal. Whether they like it or not, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Savior of the world, is going to come and overthrow this ungodly, wicked, and degenerate generation of people and completely wipe them out of His planet. Because as it is written, the saints, the meek, shall inherit the earth. Absolutely. It is the unfailing promise of God. Church, please open with me to Revelation chapter 15. Shall we bow our heads one more time? Brother Amos prayed. In Revelation chapter 15, beginning from verse 1, the Holy Bible records, "And I saw another sign in heaven, letting us know that this is strictly a heavenly prophetic setting, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God." From this verse of Scripture, and by the grace of God, we want to consider the prophetic subject referred to as the seven vials, and may God help us to do justice to the truth. Brothers and sisters, we will begin our breakdown of this great prophetic event by asking this question. Exactly what are we looking at tonight in this passage of the Apocalypse? We are looking squarely at what the Lord specified in prophecy as the seven last plagues. These plagues, seven in number, are also said to be the wrath of God. And as we saw in the morning session under the sixth seal, we must not forget that this wrath is also referred to as the wrath of the Lamb. Brothers and sisters, the wrath of God, which, later in verse 7, is poured into seven vials or seven bowls and given to seven angels to pour out upon the earth, is precisely why we title this prophetic subject the seven vials. These seven vials or bowls contain nothing but the wrath of God, God's wrath, raw undiluted wrath. As we stated yesterday, wrath gives us nothing other than intense anger. I like the way the English dictionary describes wrath when it says this about wrath, intense anger, usually on an epic scale. And just how perfectly true that is, because that is exactly what the seven vials give us. They are not warnings. They are not sending warnings, but only wrath, God's wrath, because the world has passed the stage of warnings. They have crossed the red line of God warning them, which they spurned with brazen and godless audacity. Since, when it comes to the seven vials, we are no longer looking at God warning mankind, because as we said earlier, the days of warnings are completely over. Man has pitched his tent willfully and audaciously against God, his Maker, and God has now also pitched his tent, taken up the gauntlet, the challenge, and now we will see who wins, whether it is men that he, God, made, or God who made them. We know that it is God who wins. They really think it is aliens that are coming, the aliens they always defeat in all their Hollywood movies. What a silly world, where they just refuse to face the reality of a maker, a creator. Brothers and sisters, tonight, we are looking at nothing but God's intense anger on an epic scale, a monumental scale. And that is precisely why, when we come to the seven vials, they are absolutely global in their application. Since, when we come to the seven vials, there is nothing that relates to only the Middle East in its application, and neither is there any nation that is spared, for the seven vials are absolutely global. God has pleaded with man with his judgments, his initial warning judgments, but they stoutly refuse to repent of their evil, violent, wicked, immoral, and perverted ways. They stoutly refuse to acknowledge him and to honor him. They bluntly and willfully refuse to realize that as men, they have a maker, a creator, for men did not evolve from apes. That is even downright stupid. And neither did we evolve from ISIS, because by their nonsensical theory of evolution, all living things, including human beings, came from just one cyst. That is the statement of an imbecile. For then, we have to ask, who made that cyst? How did the cyst get here, if that is the idiotic way they want to go? Come on! Church, the extremely impudent and satanic defiance of these two-legged unbelieving creatures is precisely the reason the Lord is sending the seven vials, for they convey God's intense anger, raw anger, on an epic scale. It is like God taking the trumpets to another level entirely. Revelation chapter 15, starting again from verse 1, provides, "And I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God." This is God's undiluted anger. Now watch the next verse, which still gives us a heavenly vision, one which has a heavenly prophetic setting. Verse 2, "And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, the Antichrist, and over his image, which is the World Church Council, the World Council of Churches, the WCC, and over his mark, which is 666, and over the number of his name, which is the numerical composition of his name in computerized barcodes, stand on the sea of glass, in heaven, having the harps of God." Do not forget, brothers and sisters, we are still in the second half of the last week of Daniel, because the seven vials all take place during the last phase of the Great Tribulation, which is the last half of the 70th week of Daniel. However, because there are so many prophetic issues laid out in these passages of Scripture, we cannot take them in one go. Consequently, we will take our time and consider each prophetic issue one after the other in order to break them down and do justice to the truth. The prophetic picture was not given to John in one go either, because it is not possible to do that. The fact remains, brothers and sisters, we are looking at serious prophetic events ordained for the second half of the week. But the crucial issue is, when do the seven vials begin? When does the Lord begin pouring them upon the earth? We are going to see that in this message segment, God helping us. What we must understand, however, is that these are awful events God has designed for the children of disobedience as a way of saying bye-bye, good riddance, to an utterly godless world, a God-hating and Christian-hating world, an extremely mean, utterly violent, most wicked, and incredibly reprobate world, a very proud, arrogant, and conceited world, who think they are something, and know everything, and can do everything, and yet, they are nothing. Absolutely nothing. Man is exceedingly smaller than an ant in the presence of God. However, when he has breath in him, how he boasts of lofty things, great and wonderful things, how he boasts of his power. And if God sucks the breath of life out of him, he would simply fall down and corrupt, just like insects, birds, and animals do, and there ends all his bigness, and all his threatening. The end of man is in the grave, and as such, it is good for man to look at his end and give glory to his Maker. That is why Moses was inspired by the Spirit of God to write in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 29, saying, "Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. Because the end of man, with all his pomp and pageantry, and with all his political power and fury, is the grave." Brothers and sisters, When you look at our chart, Brother Remus points to chart 2. We are now strictly in the second half of the last week, which is the era of the Great Tribulation. For the first half of that week is one day we'll have false peace and prosperity, when Israel will also have her revival under the ministry of Moses and Elijah. You must know that the nation of Israel cannot be running for her life from the face of the Antichrist and also be having revival at the same time. It is just not possible. Therefore, we must know of a scriptural certainty that as we speak today, it is not possible for the nation of Israel to have only a balance of 3.5 years, but they have a full week of 7 years of prophetic time left, each year bearing 360 days, 30 days per month. I do not care how many quotes of the prophet the Branham movement have for their highly erroneous projection of 3.5 years as a total balance of time that remains for the nation of Israel. For it just will not work, scripturally speaking. This is quite apart from the fact that I also have the quotes of the prophet that lay out in crystal clear terms that the nation of Israel has the complete 7 years of prophetic time left. Consequently, church, in considering the seven vials, we must all know that we are looking squarely at the second half of Daniel's 70th week. As we now return to zero in on the prophetic setting conveyed here in Revelation chapter 15, as said earlier, it gives us nothing but a heavenly setting. The seven angels we see here, as well as the saints standing on a sea of glass mingled with fire, in verses 1 to 2, are all in heaven. The material question we must ask, and the first question we will ask, is exactly when were the saints seen in heaven? They were seen in heaven towards the end of that last week. Why do you say that, Brother Remus? It is simply because it is in this second half of the week that they will be killed, every last one of them, as such. We must see that their spirits were seen in heaven just prior to the closing out of that week. The questions that necessarily follow are these: who are the saints? And what does a sea of glass mingled with fire mean? We will start with the second question, and verse 2 records, "And I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire." Brothers and sisters, we all know we can see through glass, because it is pure, it is clear, it is translucent, for it allows light to pass through unhindered. Therefore, it speaks of the clarity of the faith of the saints standing on it, their pure faith. I say this because we are clearly informed that there are saints standing on this very sea of glass mingled with fire, just as verse 2 also adds, "And them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God." Church, the very fact that these saints were standing on the sea of glass, which is their foundation, the foundation of their faith, and this sea of glass is also mingled with fire, clearly shows that these saints have faithfully passed through the fierce, fiery fire of intense persecution and trials, because of the revealed faith of Jesus Christ they stood for around the globe, which the sea represents, and on which account they all died, martyred by the Antichrist. We are looking at the fire of persecution and trials, which the revealed faith of Jesus Christ causes its possessors to pass through, making their faith to shine gloriously, showing forth its immense divine value. Do not forget that in 1 Peter chapter 1, our faith is like unto natural gold that is tried by fire, that it may show its utter preciousness, just as verse 7 states, "That the trial of your faith, be much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, of hot, intense persecution, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." For it is the faith of the saints that is being tried, in order to show its great and priceless worth, its eternal value. That is why they are standing on the sea of glass mingled with fire. It shows the absolute clarity and purity of the faith of this particular universal class of saints, as they were all martyred, every last one of them, during the second half of the last week of Daniel, which we are considering this afternoon. We have a scribe which sets forth the truth about these weeks of time, and is titled, "The 70 Weeks of Daniel." However, in case anyone wants to challenge the fact of exactly when these saints were martyred, as they erroneously want to use this prophetic passage of scripture to cover saints who were martyred through time, even as far back as the Middle Ages, may I warn that verse 2 itself reveals, and hence, firmly and clearly confirms this absolute fact. Verse 2 makes us realize that this particular class of saints are marked precisely in the second half of the last week, during the period of the Great Tribulation, when the 666 mark of the beast is actually demanded, for it is in effect a time when the religious world are also mandated to worship or join the image of the beast, which is none other than the World Council of Churches, the WCC. That is why the prophetic passage records with absolute clarity, firmly declaring, them that had gotten the victory over the beast, the Antichrist, a man, according to Revelation 13, verse 18, during his allotted time, which is his reign of terror, and over his image, the World Church Council, when joining it is enforced, a time when the image of the beast can speak with the full force of the law backing it, according to Revelation 13, verse 15, and over his mark, the 666 mark, when it is demanded, in order to buy and or sell, according to Revelation 13, verses 16 to 17, and over the number of his name, the numerical composition of his name in computer barcodes. All these facts prove beyond any iota of doubt that this prophetic verse of Scripture cannot be applied to any of the saints who were martyred through time, for it just cannot be applied to any other period of time within the Gentile dispensation of grace, except and only except during the last half of the 70th week of Daniel. Period. For those who are interested in knowing the absolute truth about the image of the beast, what it truly is, we have a scribe that presents it scripturally and in absolute detail, titled, The Image of the Beast. The saints get victory by triumphing over the devil in death through martyrdom, for they refuse to take the mark of the beast, and they also refuse to join the image of the beast, and they gladly seal their testimony with their blood. They had heard the serious warnings given by the two Jewish prophets about this beast man in the first half of that week, and they had also listened to the loud cry of the 144,000 Jewish preachers of the everlasting gospel, which had gone forth in that last half of the 70th week, warning them not to take the mark, and neither to worship the image of the beast, which really means to join the image of the beast, the World Council of Churches, but rather to die for their faith in Christ, for they will rise in the morning, and that is exactly what they did. That is why we now see their souls in heaven, standing on the sea of glass mingled with fire, towards the end of that week. Saints, the next material question is this: exactly who are these tribulation saints? Jesus Christ also gave us their identity in a deeply coded prophetic representation, for their identity is concealed in what they are doing on the sea of glass in heaven. Beginning again from verse 2, the Holy Bible records, and I saw as it were a sea of glass mingled with fire, and them that had gotten the victory over the beast, and over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, stand on the sea of glass, having the harps of God. And exactly what were they harping for? Remember, a harp is an instrument of worship, for it is used as an accompaniment to singing, and we are plainly told that these are harps, and they were harping and singing the songs of God. Therefore, the crucial question is, what songs of God are these? Watch verse 3, for it gives it to us, declaring, and they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, prophetically speaking of the Torah, the law of Moses, showing us that they are Jewish tribulation saints, and, a conjunction, meaning, in addition, the song of the Lamb, prophetically speaking of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, showing us that they are Gentile foolish virgin tribulation saints, saying, Great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty, just and true of thy ways, thou King of saints. This gives us two classes of tribulation saints, who will all be martyred in the last reign of terror by the devil, walking through that Antichrist, who, in that last phase of the Great Tribulation, will seek to annihilate, exterminate, every Jew on the face of this earth, a feat Adolf Hitler tried and failed to accomplish, and also annihilate every God-believing Gentile he can lay his hands on. However, just a few days down the road, these tribulation saints will all be resurrected, along with all the other white-robed saints, as revealed in Revelation 20, verses 1 to 5. Full stop. Verse 4 of Revelation chapter 15 concludes their song, their adoration and worship in heaven, as they proclaim, "Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name?" Now listen to this, "For thou only art holy," a scripture that shows our evidence is the fact that there is no second God and no third God. If there were other gods, they would most definitely have also been acknowledged here in heaven and equally called holy, for this verse plainly denies both their existence and their holiness. It confirms the absolute and inerrable truth that there is nothing called the Holy Trinity of gods, for it is downright idolatry. You just cannot have more than one God and not be an idolater, for there is only one God. May I add, it does not matter that the whole of Christendom believe in three gods, as this fact does not make a difference, because common belief does not make something true. As a matter of fact, if you have any understanding of truth, you will know that the majority of people who profess to worship God have never had a true revelation of God, and hence, they have never ever truly known His ways or who God really is. What do Gentiles know about God? Gentiles have always been heathens, and although we were brought out of heathenism, yet, standing here at the same time, Gentiles have gone right back to heathenism on every level. Now they express extremely perverted, abominable, and twisted forms of immorality, namely, LGBTQ, are given to tattooing and all forms of strange-looking, demonic body modifications, have run right back to idol worship, witchcraft, sorcery, and occultism, filling secret societies around the globe. Gentiles have clearly gone back to their heathen roots, for this is indeed where it all ends. Nevertheless, verse 4 closes out with a great and profound truth, declaring about God, "For all nations shall come and worship before thee," every year of the entire duration of the millennium, as revealed in Isaiah 2 verses 1 to 4, and Zechariah 14 verses 16 to 21, "For thy judgments are made manifest to the whole earth." Amen. Brothers and sisters, do not forget, in our message this evening, we are laying out the revelation of the seven vials. Therefore, continuing our breakdown of Revelation chapter 15, verse 5 records, "And after that I looked, and, behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened, and the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts guarded with golden girdles." Since we must see that the exacting description of these seven angels lets us know with scriptural certainty that these are the seven angels the Lord used for the seven church ages. They have served their purpose in this regard because the grace age, the Gentile dispensation of grace, is completely over by this time, and here we see them performing another role in the second half of the 70th week of Daniel. The royal bride has been called home around the opening of that week, for we have gone in the rapture, where, at this material time, we are enjoying our honeymoon in heaven, exploring the corridors of heaven, being in total awe of God's majesty, splendor, and might, and in awe of the spirit realm, having already married Jesus Christ, our royal bridegroom. As I have just said, these are the seven angels that God used for the seven church ages, and because that role has been fulfilled, they now function in another role for the Lord, as the seven angels bearing the seven vials. Before I lay out what proves that they are the seven angels to the seven church ages, let us first look at Revelation chapter 17, verse 1, which records, "And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come hither, I will show unto thee the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters." Here in this prophetic passage, brothers and sisters, we see that Apostle John clearly distinguished and identified the particular angel who showed him the judgment of spiritual Babylon, the great whore, who is none other than the Roman Catholic Church organization. St. John not only identified him from all other angels, but he specifically distinguished and identified him from the other six angels bearing the seven vials, because he stated categorically that he was one of the seven angels which had the seven vials. The identities, or better still, the persona of the seven angels carrying the seven vials, were also so distinguishable and identifiable to St. John that in Revelation chapter 21, Verses 9 to 10, Apostle John equally wrote, "And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, giving us in an extremely deep and most complex prophetic imagery the universal nation of the royal bride of Jesus Christ." Saints, please note that this is not the same angel revealed in Revelation 17 verse 1, who showed John the judgment of the great whore, but another angel, who was equally one of the seven angels bearing the seven vials. In other words, God used two of the seven angels who bore the seven vials to convey the prophetic saints to Apostle John, the judgment of Mystery Babylon, and the New Jerusalem, which correlatively or respectively gives us the false apostate church, the counterfeit church, and the true church of God, the original church, two different and distinct churches. We must now ask, why did the Master deem it necessary for the identity of two out of the seven angels who bore the seven vials be distinguished and mentioned in the Apocalypse, if this was not done as an indicator sign, a precedent of something to come, a revelation to come for the universal bride of Christ? If you say that it is not a revelational pointer, then please answer me. Why do we need to know which angel showed Apostle John the prophetic vision of the great hall and of that great city, the holy Jerusalem? After all, what we need and what is material, what is important, is the vision of Jesus Christ that is conveyed, and not the angel who conveyed them. Come on! Wake up, for we are on holy ground. As a word bride, we must know the ways of our God, for as it is written in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, and today, and forever. And we must know that Jesus Christ is the same, not just in miracles, signs, and wonders, but he is also the same in revelation, as well as in his revelational ways. For he is the same in his revelational projections and dealings. Consequently, if the Master sovereignly chose to make known the identity of the particular angels who revealed the judgment of the great hall and of that great city, the holy Jerusalem, why can he not do the same today? Come on! After all, there is no true Bible believer that will deny the truth stated in Revelation 15, verse 1, Revelation 17, verse 1, and Revelation 21, verse 9, about the seven angels bearing the seven vials in their various prophetic roles. Brothers and sisters, in Revelation chapter 8, the Holy Bible records in verse 2, "And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets." The seven trumpet angels are repeated in verse 6 as they prepared themselves to sound. Yet, in verse 3, where another angel came into the prophetic picture, St. John did not identify this particular angel at all, neither did he distinguish him, just as the Holy Scriptures now records. "And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne." Period. Please note that in most of the prophetic saints that St. John was shown, rarely did he identify or distinguish the angel, apart from the ones with the seven vials, as well as the angel of Christ, who is Michael, conveyed in Revelation chapter 1, who, as such, looked just like Christ, and who also spoke as Christ. For in Revelation chapter 1, verses 12 to 13, Apostle John states, "And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks one like unto the Son of Man." Not that he was Jesus the Christ, because St. John knew Jesus Christ personally, having walked with him for about 3.5 years during his earthly ministry. But he said, "One like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girds about the paps with a golden girdle." This is an angel authorized and anointed by God to characterize the physical image of Jesus Christ, and to speak in his person, as though he was the Christ. Saints, apart from this very angel of Christ, whom St. John later fell down to worship in Revelation 19 verse 10, who was given a definite and identifying description It is only the seven angels bearing the seven vials who also have a definite and identifying description in the entire book of Revelation, a description we will present shortly. Church, when we consider Revelation chapter 8, verses 2 and 6, where we see the seven angels bearing the seven trumpets, whose identities were not revealed in any way, please note that we must differentiate these angels completely from the seven angels bearing the seven vials. This is because they give us two sets of entirely different and distinct angels, which, in reality, gives us 14 angels in total, who are bearing the seven trumpets and the seven vials, and not one set of angels. Since, may I reiterate, we must not lump these sets of angels together, because they are not the same set of seven angels, but they are two completely different and distinct sets of seven angels. Church, as I just stated, when we look at Revelation chapter 8, where we see the seven trumpet angels, their identities were not revealed in any way, except that they are shown to be the seven angels bearing the seven trumpets. Period. In total contrast, however, when we come to Revelation chapters 15 and 16, the seven angels bearing the seven vials were given a definite and identifying description, which is very unusual. Well, in Revelation chapter 15, speaking descriptively about these seven angels, the Spirit of Jesus Christ clearly revealed in verse 6 that they were clothed in pure and white linen, which is the royal garment of the royal bride, of the royal king, our Lord Jesus Christ. Since the spiritual garment of the bride of Jesus Christ is revealed in Revelation chapter 19, where in verses 7 to 8 it records, "Let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor to him, who is God, for the marriage of the Lamb, the royal bridegroom, our Savior Jesus Christ, is come in heaven, and his wife, the royal bride, hath made herself ready. Now watch, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints, the bride saints." Then in verse 14, "Coming to the day of the Lord, at the glorious physical descent of Jesus Christ to earth with his bride, the Holy Scriptures also records, beginning from verse 11, "And I saw heaven opened, and behold a white horse, and he, Christ the King, that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written, that no man knew, but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God." Now see verse 14, "And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean." This verse conveys the bride of Jesus Christ as the preeminent class within the armies of heaven, a class spoken of earlier in verses 7 to 8, who were clothed in the same garment material of fine linen, clean and white. Now here in verse 14, we see the same bride saints, along with all other classes of saints, with the angels of God, altogether making up this holy army, God's armies, which we call Joel's army, as revealed in Joel chapter 2, verses 1 to 11. In other words, the robe of the word bride, fine linen, clean and white, or fine linen, white and clean, is exclusive to her, because no other class of saints is so adorned, for all other classes of saints only wear white robes of righteousness. This is absolutely so, because the elect bride is the highest class of sainthood we have in God's entire redeemed family. It is for this reason, speaking specifically of John the Baptist, the Elijah of the day, Jesus Christ declared in Matthew chapter 11, verse 11, "Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist, notwithstanding he that is least in the kingdom of heaven," referring to the bride church saints, "is greater than he, who is John the Baptist." Why is this so, you may still ask? It is simply because the royal bride of Christ are the ones who occupy the highest level of sainthood in God's entire redeemed family. Revelation chapter 6, verse 11. And Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, both passages of scripture which speak of white robes in relation to the Jewish tribulation saints in the grace age, as well as in relation to the New Testament tribulation saints, confirm the irrefutable truth that all other classes of saints only have white robes. Brothers and sisters, the bottom line and the fundamental point is that there is no angel or set of angels described in the entire book of Revelation dressed in this divine robe, adorned or clothed in pure and white linen, except these seven angels having the seven last plagues. And even in the entire Holy Bible, coming to the prophets, what we have is an angel clothed with linen, as conveyed in Ezekiel chapter 9, verses 2, 3, and 11, Ezekiel chapter 10, verses 2, 6, and 7, and Daniel chapter 10, verses 5 to 6. The fundamental fact, however, is that none of these angels are seven in number, and as such, there is no need to even consider them. And it is for this fundamental reason we also cannot even consider the archangel, the angel of time, Christ's angel, the angel who watches over the gospel or over the covenant, who swore as to God's Jewish prophetic time in Daniel 12 verse 7, and who is equally revealed in Revelation chapter 10 verse 1 as a mighty angel characterizing the risen Christ with the fully opened scroll of redemption in his hand, where, in verses 5 to 6, he also swore as to God's gentle prophetic time. We really cannot consider Angel Michael. We cannot take any of these angels into consideration for the simple reason that they are not a set of seven angels. Period. Saints, so we can all see that it is only the royal bride of Jesus Christ that is clothed in a fine linen garment material, the best spiritual material we have in God's redeemed kingdom. For all other classes of saints are simply clothed in white robes. The only other church that is clothed with fine linen is recorded in Revelation chapter 18, and this gives us nothing but a parallel church to that of Jesus Christ. It gives us a counterfeit church robed with a kind of fine linen, literal linen, not spiritual linen, which the word bride wears in her soul, but natural or physical linen, worn on their physical bodies. Speaking of the judgment of the Roman Catholic Church organization, Revelation chapter 18, verse 16 declares, and saying, "Alas, alas, that great city, the Vatican City in Rome, the headquarters of the Roman Catholic Church organization, that was clothed in fine linen, and purple, and scarlet, and decked with gold, and precious stones, and pearls." This is nothing but a man-made physical linen, which has absolutely no bearing on the spiritual garment of the elect bride of Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, coming back to Revelation chapter 15, verse 1, which gives us the seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God, verse 6 now clearly provides, and the seven angels came out of the temple, having the seven plagues, clothed in pure and white linen, and having their breasts guarded with golden girdles. Church, when we consider these seven angels very closely, it is their exacting description that nails their identity, proving that they are the seven angels the Lord used in the seven church ages, and having served their purpose in the true God, for the bride of all ages and now in heaven, we see these angels in another divine role, in the last half of the 70th week of Daniel, as the seven angels bearing the seven vials. Do not forget that the revelation of God does not give us what is not there in the Holy Scriptures, but it only opens up what is already there, showing us something we did not see before the Spirit of God removed the veil that has covered it, and we then see this truth. To begin with, and this is the first proof, in Revelation chapter 15, verse 6, we are clearly informed that these seven angels are clothed in pure and white linen. This is a peculiar divine garment description, which only the royal bride of the royal bridegroom is adorned with, as revealed in Revelation chapter 19, verses 7,8 and 14, thereby prophetically tying these angels to the seven church ages of the bride of Jesus Christ. Secondly, these seven angels, in their divine clothing or adornment, also have their breasts guarded with golden girdles, which is descriptive of and typical of the risen Jesus Christ, our great high priest, who sits on the throne of God, and who, as revealed in Revelation chapter 1, verse 13, is standing, guards about the paps, the breast, with a golden girdle, the girdle of royalty, Christ the royal king, who has a royal bride. Thirdly, it is worth noting that in all the holy scriptures, from the book of Genesis to the book of Revelation, there is no angel or set of angels, apart from the angel of Christ, who appeared as the risen Christ to Apostle John in 96 AD on the Isle of Patmos, as recorded in Revelation chapter 1, verse 13. That is equally guards about the pups, the breasts with a golden girdle, clearly vindicating the truth that only Jesus the Christ, our great high priest and royal bridegroom, wears a golden girdle at his breasts, pups, for it speaks of his royalty, his royal priesthood. Please note that the only other angel expressed with a golden girdle, as revealed in Daniel chapter 10, verses 5 to 6, was guarded in his loins and not in his breast or pups, as our great high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. Although that angel in the book of Daniel also characterized the risen Jesus Christ. For as it is written in Daniel chapter 10, verses 5 to 6, his loins were guarded with fine gold of opals. His body also was like the beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude, prophetically characterizing the risen Christ, our great mediator, the royal priest. However, saints, please note, the fact that this angel wore a golden girdle around his loins, characterizing the risen Christ, does not take away or nullify the fact, but rather, it only complements the fact that the seven angels having the seven last plagues, which are the seven vials, are the same class of spirit angels sent to the seven church ages, having served their great major purpose. That is the reason they are not only clothed in pure white linen, speaking of their ministry to the royal bride of Christ in all seven church ages, but they are also having their breasts guarded with golden girdles, speaking of their firm relationship to Jesus Christ's mediatorial role, a royal high priest during the entire grace age. The crucial question we must ask, brothers and sisters, is this: why are the seven angels in this prophetic setting, the angels bearing the seven vials, guarded about their breasts with golden girdles, if it is not that the Lord Jesus wants us to see their identity, that they were firmly tied to his high priestly ministry work during the seven church ages? It is to enable us to see their relationship with Jesus Christ the King Priest. Come on! Furthermore, and this is another key point, if St. John, as he was dealt with in the day by the Spirit of Christ, could identify the particular angel who gave him the revelation of the great hall, and he could equally identify the particular angel who gave him the revelation of the holy city, New Jerusalem, as being two of the seven angels of the seven vials, why can the Spirit of Jesus Christ not also help us at this evening time to know precisely who these seven angels are? How many see what I am saying? How many see the point? Why can the Lord not also help us to see who these angels are, when Jesus Christ remains the same in his revelational dealing with his elect church, the word bride? We do not have to break our heads on this issue, for it is a simple and plain issue. However, if you say in your heart, why do we need to know the identity of these angels, I will simply ask you in return, why did Apostle John have to know? And why did he write the identity of the two angels who conveyed the visions of the great hall and of the holy city, New Jerusalem, to him? What was St. John to do with that information? What are we likewise to do with that information of the particular two angels who showed him these two prophetic issues? You have to say nothing other than privileged divine information, for the Lord wants us to know who these particular angels are. And because the Lord is sovereign in what he chooses to reveal, not that I expect the religious world, or even the Branham movement, to care about any such thing, or any such fact, as the movement have been completely shut out from the flow of divine revelation, having caused the great falling away in Christendom, the great apostasy, by their horrible and malignant unbelief of the word of truth. The very reason the Spirit of Jesus Christ allowed St. John to identify these two particular angels in their revelational roles is the same reason the Spirit of the Lord is also now helping us, here at this evening time, to equally identify the seven angels bearing the seven vials as time closes out for us Gentiles. For the Spirit of Jesus Christ is the same, whatever the dispensation, and whatever the junction of time. As a word bride, If it pleased the Spirit of Christ to add this detail in his prophetic dealing with the Apostle John in 96 AD, on what basis will we now query a similar dealing with the end time John? We all say, Amen, to whatsoever is written, and also to whatsoever is revealed by the Spirit of truth, which is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. This having been scripturally established, we will now move on to conclude our breakdown of Revelation chapter 15. Do not forget, in this segment, we are dealing with the seven vials. Church, let us turn again to Revelation chapter 15, beginning from verse 7, and it provides, And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials. The material question now is, which particular beast or living creature is this? This takes us right back to the four beasts revealed in Revelation chapter 4, verses 6 to 7, and we're looking squarely at the eagle beast, which in verse 7 is said to be the fourth beast, which was like a flying eagle. Why do you say that, Brother Amos? I say that for main reasons. Firstly, it is because in Revelation chapter 6, under the opening of the fourth seal in verse 7, which prophetically posts the universal nation of the Gentile bride ahead, with its effects being concluded under the seventh seal, is the flying eagle beast who introduced the entrance of the Antichrist spirit in this last age. This gives us the anointing of God that is on ground in this last age, leading up to the last week of Daniel. Secondly, the seventh seal, being a transitioning seal, an interlinking or connecting seal with the Jews, lets us know that this has to be the fourth beast, whose flying eagle anointing, a prophetic anointing, connects with the two Jewish prophets, two eagles of God, giving us the eagle ministry to the nation of Israel, also referenced in Revelation 12 verse 14. Thirdly, the grey horse rider, or the pale horse rider, which the eagle beast introduces, rides through to the end of the 70th week, and the standard of God against the evil spirit is the flying eagle anointing. Fourthly and finally, the pale horse rider, whose entrance the eagle beast introduces, according to Revelation chapter 6, verse 8, will exercise power over the prophetic earth, which gives us the fourth part of the earth, during the second half of the last week, bringing death to the people of God, martyrdom of the people of God, through deliberate starvation, hunger, through the beasts of the earth, by feeding them to lions, through sword, by outright shooting, and through death, using plagues, things like viruses, at the time the seven vials are being poured out. Therefore, I ask you in all honesty, in all sincerity, of the four beasts, which beast can this possibly be, when the time of the first three beasts have long been served and expired? Come on! You have to see that the particular beast conveyed in Revelation chapter 15, verse 7, is none other than the flying eagle beast, for it conveys a transitioning and a continuing anointing. Full stop. Just as the four beasts have served in the seven church ages, we now see the fourth and final beast, the flying eagle beast, giving the seven angels, used in the seven church ages, the seven vials, as they equally transition into another office work of God. And as Satan, the spirit of the grey horse rider, is killing the children of God during the great tribulation, the Lord will also unleash his seven vials of wrath upon the ungodly seeds of Lucifer. May I just add that if the fourth beast, the eagle beast, which is currently being used in this last age, this seventh church age, can be used to serve another great objective of God, as conveyed in this divine prophetic vision, for he gives the seven vials to the seven angels, then why will you deny or reject the truth that the seven angels who had equally served in the grace age are now being used to serve in this new divine purpose? You just cannot kick against the pricks, for you will only cause self-injury. You will only harm yourselves, because there is no counsel against the truth. Continuing with Revelation chapter 15, verse 7 records, And one of the four beasts gave unto the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God, who liveth forever and ever. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God, and from his power. And no man was able to enter into the temple, till the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. This fact clearly shows that in the days of the seven vials, mercy is over, and access to God is also completely over for fallen man. The seven angels poised or positioned in heaven are standing ready to begin to pour out the seven vials upon the earth. Church, this brings us to the consideration of the seven vials. Brothers and sisters, having first laid out the seven trumpets on a chart, as the prophetic events are many and are happening within the same last half of the 70th week, we also needed to lay out the seven vials on the chart by themselves, projecting only the second half of the last week. Hence, we have created another chart, a second chart, just for the seven vials, and it is for the sake of clarity and for the detailed presentation of truth, so as to not have a crowded chart. Therefore, we have all seven angels with their vials positioned here on our chart accordingly and respectively. Brother Amos points to chart 2. Church, having laid out the heavenly preparation of the seven angels bearing the seven vials as recorded in Revelation chapter 15, please turn with me to see the activation of their terrifying ministry as is laid out in Revelation chapter 16. It records from verse 1. And I heard a great voice, which is the baritone voice of the Lord, out of the temple saying to the seven angels, go your ways, and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth, the entire earth, the vials being global. Just as we stated much earlier, brothers and sisters, these vials are like bowls, for each of the seven angels carries a bowl filled with the wrath of God, giving us God's intense anger on an epic scale, because mercy is totally finished for humanity. Hence, the vials are not carrying warnings, only wrath, God's raw indignation upon a grossly ungodly, extremely evil-minded, and utterly profane humanity, a profanity which has no precedent, being unparalleled. This is exactly what God has ordained for the last half of the 70th week, the last 3.5 years of human time. Let us now zero in on the first vial in verse 2, and it states, and the first angel went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which have the mark of the beast, and upon them which worship his image. Hold it there. Before we consider this vial, we must first ask, what is the mark of the beast, and exactly what is the image of the beast? The mark of the beast is what we have placed right here. Brother Amos points to chart 2, under the first vial, which is the 666 mark. It is the numerical breakdown of one of the blasphemous titles of the Pontiff of Rome, the Pope in the Vatican City, the seat of the coming Antichrist, with the blasphemous Latin title of Vicarius Filii Dei, meaning, instead of the Son of God. For as the scriptures plainly declare in Revelation chapter 13, verse 18, the number of the beast is the number of a man, and his number is 666. It is for this reason we have placed 666 right under the photo of the Pope, who is sitting in the office of the beast man. Coming to the image of the beast, brothers and sisters, it is none other than the World Council of Churches, the WCC, which we have also represented here on our chart, as a golden statue. Brother Amos points to chart 2, in the same picture frame under the first vial, on the top left section. May I add that speaking prophetically and scripturally, there is absolutely nowhere else you can take the image of the beast. Brothers and sisters, for those who are interested in knowing the gospel truth about the image of the beast and about his mark, we have a scribe simply titled The Image of the Beast, which lays it out in scriptural detail. The Spirit of God is making truth plain in this final junction of time, leaving the entire religious world without any excuse for not walking in the light, the true light. This scribe is available online and can be freely downloaded, as there is absolutely nothing that is sold here in this ministry. The revelation of life we have received from God is absolutely free, and so, we also give it out for free. God will help his people, and we appreciate the saints God is using to carry the financial burden, in order to make these spiritual materials freely available to the children of God around the globe. However, because the prophetic subjects of both the image of the beast and the mark of the beast are very serious, major, deep, and complex prophetic issues which are totally outside the bounds of this message on the seven trumpets, the three woes, and the seven vials, consequently, in order to stay focused and to do justice to the message we are presently dealing with today, we will not be going into them. I will only add that we have a scripturally solid, immovable, irrefutable, and perfect base for what we have laid out in the scribe dealing specifically with the image of the beast. Brothers and sisters, standing here at this evening time, and especially in this third and final move of the Lord for the universal bride, we do not speak in riddles, so we do not lose the elect remnant seeds of God, the children of light, for we preach truth, plain revealed truth, holy Bible truth, thereby ensuring and guaranteeing unity of the faith. Period. We are not hate preachers. We are only preachers of the truth, preachers of the Holy Scriptures. Full stop. And because we are preachers of the truth, we declare nothing but absolute truth, even though some truths may be bitter for people to hear. Nevertheless, the truth still remains the truth. We cannot but preach the word of our God. Moreover, these are extremely grave prophetic issues of the Holy Scriptures. The children of God need to know, particularly because the mark of the beast will be presented not as anything having to do with Satan or religion, but strictly on the basis of financial expediency, on the basis of the security of people's money and investments, something the world loves, as money is their God. Moreover, people also will not be able to buy or sell, and hence, they will have nothing to eat in the second half of the last week, a serious reality which will force a lot of people to compromise their eternal destiny by complying, by taking the mark of the beast. Consequently, the Lord God issues out an extremely stern warning, alerting humanity of the fact that if they take the mark of the beast or join his image, their eternal fate is sealed, and they are bound for the lake of fire. Please note, therefore, brothers and sisters, the image of the beast, which is nothing other than the World Council of Churches, the WCC, is precisely what we have represented right here on our chart. Brother Amos points to chart 2, with this golden image. The bottom line is, whoever takes the mark of the beast, which is 666, or worships his image, which prophetically speaking, simply means to join the World Council of Churches, will not only be a sure candidate for the first vial, but they will also be a sure candidate for the lake of fire. Full stop. With this spelled out, we will now return to lay out the first vial. Please come back with me to Revelation chapter 16, verse 2, which records, "And the first angel went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worship his image." This is the very first vial, and the effect of this vial is precisely what we have portrayed on these people here on our chart. Brother Amos points to chart 2, with the 666 mark on their foreheads, and with boils all over their bodies, right under the first vial. For when the first angel pours out that first vial, the Holy Bible records that something immediately breaks out on earth, on humanity. A noisome and grievous sore breaks out upon the people who have taken the mark of the beast, and upon all those who have joined, worship, his image. Saints, according to the English dictionary, a noisome sore is a foul-smelling, nauseating, sickening, offensive sore, giving us a sore that comes with a disgusting odor, foul smell, which is most certainly disconcerting, embarrassing. The Holy Scriptures also say that this sore is a grievous sore, which simply means that it is a very painful, very severe sore. Brothers and sisters, this lets us see that this plague, this sore, will cause a great deal of physical anguish, and a lot of emotional pain and trauma, heart-rending trauma. That is similar to what the sounding of the fifth trumpet also gives us, except that now there is more of the same affliction. This will lead me to ask, what does this prophetic verse of Scripture tell us, brothers and sisters, concerning the application of the first vial? It simply means that we cannot apply the seven vials, which begins with the first vial, until first, the mark of the beast has a time to go around in its enforcement. Second, the image of the beast has also begun to speak, carrying the force of the law, demanding that all churches and all Christian groups, organizations, and assemblies around the earth worship, meaning, join, the image of the beast, the World Council of Churches, the WCC. All those who refuse to join them will have their churches totally and permanently closed down and be killed. Revelation 13, verse 15. Therefore, it is scripturally certain that the seven vials and not what we can apply from the very beginning of the middle of the last week. Forget that. Brothers and sisters, if the first vial is going to be poured upon those who receive the mark of the beast, common sense will tell you, therefore, that they have to first receive the mark, before they are judged for receiving it. Is that clear? Absolutely. They have to receive the mark first, and consequently, it is not as soon as the second half of the 70th week opens up that the seven vials are released. They are not released like that, because the taking of the mark first has to go round, and the people be allowed to make their choice whether to take it or not, before the first vial is released. That is precisely why I said earlier that the first vial only gives us more of what takes place under the sounding of the fifth trumpet, when hell is opened up. Do not forget, however, that the affliction people will suffer or experience under the fifth trumpet is what the hordes of hell, the fallen angels, will do, exactly as God has instructed them to do. Whereas, and in total contrast, the seven vials, through the operation or ministry of seven righteous angels of the Lord, is what God does, just as it happened in Egypt in the days of Moses. Saints, you must see the difference, and mark this difference, and not mix them up, because both classes of angels, holy and evil angels, are used, rightly dividing the word of truth. Let every eagle of God be settled on this one scriptural fact. The first vial cannot be poured out until the mark of the beast has had time to make its rounds, and people receive it. In the same vein, and at the very same time, the image of the beast will equally have had time to speak, meaning, legal decrees will be issued that all of Christendom must join the image of the beast, the World Church Council, the WCC, or be killed, and their gathering places permanently shut down. In the day, brothers and sisters, the whole of mankind will have no excuse for taking the mark of the beast and for joining his image, because during the first half of that week, the two Jewish prophets would have alerted the world to exactly who that man, that Antichrist, is. On top of that, right from the beginning of the second half of the week, in the middle of that week, the 144,000 Jewish everlasting gospel preachers would also have warned the people not to take the mark, and also not to worship his image, letting them know with crystal clarity the utter grievousness, the eternal consequence of doing so, and hence, the people are not ignorant. Therefore, we must all know that the seven angels bearing the seven vials are not released to pour out their vials until a space of time has elapsed in the second half of the week, giving the people who have taken the mark and have joined his image time to do so. Because the first vial is not released immediately, the second half of the 70th week starts. No, absolutely not. However, in his message dated January 2004, titled Seven Trumpets and Seven Vials, the chief apostle taught, when the fifth trumpet sounds, that is in the ninth chapter, when the fifth trumpet sounds, it is to the world. It coincides precisely with the first vial. A little further down, Brother Jackson added, we turn to the 16th chapter to see the vials. The first vial is poured out upon the earth. Men will be tormented which have the mark of the beast. You read that first vial and read the fifth trumpet. Saints, you must all know that is not correct, because the fifth trumpet, which gives us the opening up of hell, right in the middle of the week, deals with and torments those who do not have the seal of God, which is the Holy Ghost. It is a seal that cannot be received anywhere in the second half of the week, but only in the first expired half of that week, and as such, the fifth trumpet can indeed go off, and indeed, it does go off, precisely in the middle of that week. In total contrast, the first vial is poured out upon those who have taken the mark of the beast, and upon those who have joined the image of the beast, and consequently, as we have shown, this first vial cannot possibly be poured out or ignited, right in the middle of the week, because the mark and the image must first have time to be affected around the globe, before those who receive it can then be judged. Come on! Therefore, the sounding of the fifth trumpet does not coincide, and it just cannot coincide, with the pouring out of the first vial, even though both prophetic events take place within the second half of that week. And we must be clear on these events, so we do not lump different issues together, or model of the prophetic picture. How many see the point? Saints, we must realize that in this last move of God, there has to be absolute clarity of truth. And truth must also be completely stripped of all traditional ideas, so we hold to nothing but pure revealed faith. Having laid out these issues, brothers and sisters, please note that in conveying the prophetic pictures of the seven vials on our chart too, we have had to spell them out to cover the last half of the week, only for visual clarity, for this teaching service. Consequently, do not think that where we placed the first vial is where it starts. It does not start there at the very beginning of the last half, but just how will you see the picture of it unless we show it, lay it out graphically? One thing is definite, however, on the authority of the Word of God, the vials do not begin until the mark of the beast and the image of the beast have had some time to make their evil effects. This takes us a little away from the middle of the last week, into the second half, before God can ignite the seven vials. And once the first vial is poured out, it will be one vial after the other. One vial after the other, as God is done with this world. Hence, it is now judgment time on an epic scale, as God begins to pour out his wrath on a loose living, utterly godless, vile, and profane humanity, and also upon degenerate Christendom, an apostate religious world, apostate Christendom, the world church, who, in the day, has become the wife of Lucifer. May I warn that you had better watch out when God is angry, because God is not man who can be appeased. Just who will appease God the Creator on the day, in the days of his wrath? Today, they can smile and blaspheme his name as they want to, persecute and kill Christians as much as they want to, but it is certain they are going to seriously choose sand. So to say, when that day comes, they will choose stones in the day, for our God is not anyone's grandfather. He is certainly not a grandfather, and he will pour out his wrath. May I reiterate, for we must understand, the seven vials cannot be set in motion until the mark of the beast has been allowed to move around the earth for the people to make their choice, and the image has also begun to speak, demanding worship, demanding people to join. That is when places like this one will be totally closed, and permanently too, although it does not matter that they are closed, because at around the opening of the last week, we would have gone to heaven. Are you listening to me? We will not be here on earth in that day to see any of this terrible stuff, but we will be in heaven, already married to Christ, already the Queen, enjoying our honeymoon with our husband, Jesus Christ, the coming King. It is a spiritual marriage, and what a day that will be in heaven when we are caught up, translated, raptured, having first been changed into mortals, superhuman beings, in our physical bodies. Brothers and sisters, I would rather eat cracker biscuits and drink soda, like Brother Branham often said, than to compromise the word of life everlasting. Also, when we think of the day of the Lord, we can clearly see that all they have used the name of the Lord to build and acquire is coming down, and will be totally destroyed. That is precisely why we brought up this message in the scribe, titled, A World Deceived by the Church. Saints of God, be encouraged, and hold faithfully and unwaveringly to the truth with all your life, for indeed, it is your all in all. For as it is written, for here have we no continuing, abiding city, but we seek one to come, a city which hath foundations, 12 foundations in all, whose builder-maker is God, a celestial, heavenly city, the New Jerusalem. Hebrew 13, verse 14 and Hebrew 11, verse 10 and Revelation 21, verses 2. 9 and 10. It is for this reason the Holy Bible records St. Paul admonishing us in Romans chapter 8, verses 18 to 19, declaring, For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us on the great day of the Lord, and more so in the millennium. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God. Church. This is a truth the Lord helped us to bring out in the scribe, titled, The Manifestation of the Sons of God, and a truth which the religious world have greatly butchered up, having absolutely no clue about its prophetic application. I have said all that to say this, a most horrible time is right ahead for this evil and wicked world, And on the other hand, and in total contrast, a most glorious time is right ahead for the word bride. For as the song goes, it pays to serve Jesus. Amen. And in the day, all the end-time message churches on earth will be shut down permanently, except they join the image of the beast. And they will surely join the image of the beast, because they are theirs. May I warn that there are no foolish virgins following the message of Elijah, only bride and theirs, and consequently, whoever does not go in the rapture, being a message follower, is a definite there, full stop. Particularly in the face of a sure death, he will take the mark of the beast in order to stay alive, and buy, and sell, and eat, and that is all there is to that. Brothers and sisters, Revelation chapter 16, verse 2 records, "And the first angel went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and the fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men and women, which have the mark of the beast, and upon them which worship his image." The mark is already being taken all over the prophetic earth, and men are also joining his image. People are making their choice, making their stand, and the teeming masses or majority of people are taking the mark of the beast just in order to preserve their bellies, not caring for the eternal consequences of it. Please note that we are not saying or even suggesting that everyone would have made their choice for or against the mark of the beast before the first vial is poured out, because that is not the case. Nevertheless, the mark would have started being received before the recipients can be judged for taking it, and having made their choice for Satan's branding of his children, which is precisely what the mark of the beast is. The line is crossed irreversibly and eternally. So, God simply tells the seven angels with the seven vials, the angels carrying the wrath of God, the seven last plagues, "Now is the time, go down, and release my wrath on them." This is God's wrath. Remember, this is only on top of whatever evils the devil and his fallen hosts will already be inflicting upon humanity on the earth in that day, knowing that they only have but a short time left. Can you see the picture? That is on top of whatever the devils are doing on earth, and whatever the demons are turning humanity into, in the total satanic hour. I say this because we must not forget that the devil is the king of chaos, total confusion, the author of mayhem, mass turmoil, senseless violence, sheer wickedness, sadism, utter godlessness, the fallen angel that is completely opposed to all morality, righteousness, and goodness. Lucifer will seek to completely remove all good attributes from humanity in the day, and they, in turn, will express his evil attributes to its fullest. That is why he wants to exterminate anything that is morally good, holy, and righteous from the earth, because these attributes speak of God. Lucifer wants to fill this world with everything that is of himself, attributes that are godless, evil, repugnant, despicable, profane, vile, vulgar, perverse, abominable, selfish, inconsiderate, mean, wicked, violent, sadistic, without conscience, dark and demonic, because the world, his world, has to exemplify all of his evil attributes, to shut out God and his footprints completely. And when the first vial is released, the Holy Bible says, "And the fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which have the mark of the beast, and upon them which worship his image." Noisome and grievous, very grievous, and as we showed earlier, it means that these sores will be very excruciating, immensely painful, and disgusting. Brothers and sisters, for you to get what this plague is really like, please come with me to see what Prophet Isaiah laid out in his inspired writing, speaking prophetically and figuratively about the nation of Israel, who, in the day, was in an apostate spiritual state, in Isaiah chapter 1, beginning from verse 3, so we can get the full context. The Lord God proclaimed, "The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib, but Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. A sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corrupters. They have forsaken the Lord, they have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger, they are gone away backward. Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint." Now watch verse 6. "From the sole of the foot even unto the head there is no soundness in it, but wounds, and bruises, and putrefying sores, sores that are oozing out with foul-smelling and utterly disgusting pus. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. What a disgusting spiritual projection of the nation of Israel, a nation in utter apostasy. It is a figurative description or representation of Israel's spiritual state in that day. Are you with me? However, looking at this very description and simply holding it in our minds is precisely what it gives to us in true reality, in physical reality, when we come with it to the first vial. When the first vial is poured out by the first angel, looking at those who have been physically afflicted by this plague, these sores will break out all over their bodies with pus, making them both look and smell highly offensive, extremely disgusting to the eyes and noses of all onlookers. What a most embarrassing state it will be to be in. The main point is, since they want to live only for the flesh, without God in their lives, God then simply turns their physical bodies, which they love to adorn in pomp so much, and which is their pride, into sheer disgustingness, with noisome and grievous sores. A man or a woman with such painful boils oozing out with pus all over his or her body is quite a sight. You cannot even eat or drink beside such a person, on account of the terrible and most nauseating, sickening sight. That is precisely what you must see, because we are looking at a divine plague, coming from God, a plague of grievous boils. May I remind you of the experience of Job, as recorded in the book of Job chapter 2. When grievous boils broke out on Job, he had to use a potsherd to scrape himself. He was quite a mess, quite a sight, that even his wife told him, "You are still maintaining your integrity. Why not just simply cause this God who did this to you, so you can die, so he can kill you?" And Job replied his wife, saying, "You are talking like one of these foolish women." Please note that Job did not say, "You are a foolish woman." No, he did not say that, because as true believers, we do not call our wives foolish women on any account. We do not. We just do not go around hurling insults at our wives by calling them names. He said, "You speak as one of the foolish women speak." Am I now speaking directly and personally to someone? Yes, I most certainly am. The material point, brothers and sisters, is that Job was simply a sorry sight, so much so that even all of his house helps and housemaids left him, because he was just that horrible looking. Nevertheless, brothers and sisters, the man stood gallantly, maintaining his faith in God. Thank God for Job. I cannot wait to meet Job. And we will see him on the glorious resurrection morning, because we will see him in glory. Brothers and sisters, God has had heroes and heroines of faith. And in God's hall of fame, Job stands tall. Remember, Job is not in the hall of fame of this world, for when it comes to the hall of fame of this world, he is nowhere. But in God's hall of fame, Job is somebody. May the Lord be glorified. May the Lord also help us all. When you picture the physical state of Job in your mind, that is what you must bring to the prophetic picture conveyed in Revelation chapter 16, verse 2. For it is exactly what the first vial is conveying. That is the imagery we have also portrayed here. Brother Amos points to chart 2. These are definitely not sores that are under the armpits, concealed by a shirt or a dress, the kind of sores that nobody sees. These are noisome and grievous sores that man can see. Are you listening to me? God is implicitly saying to man, "You are disgusting in my sight. And I am now showing you, as well as those who look at you, just how disgusting you are, for this is your spiritual state in my sight." Period. Brothers and sisters, just as we have shown, it is also precisely how God represented Israel in prophetic imagery to prophet Isaiah, except that what the Lord showed about Israel only in prophetic imagery, in the day, during the last half of the 70th week, is going to be done in reality, because in reality, God is going to let these sores break out upon a rebellious and wayward generation of humanity. Oh my! And all their beauty will simply corrode. All their new dressing, breast flaunting, and hair flicking, that flicking of hair that is usually not theirs, will all turn to disgust for these carnal-minded, pretentious people. Brothers and sisters, think about the noisome and grievous souls. It is very easy to read the first vial, and it takes only a few seconds to read it. But sit back and meditate on the grievous effects it will have on human beings in their day, the emotional and psychological trauma it will also bring. Ladies in particular will be depressed and too ashamed to go out, because the beauty they love to flaunt has been turned to disgust and shame. All you need to do is remember the prophecy of Isaiah and the horrible experience of Job, and you will see exactly what the Lord has in store for this extremely godless, morally bankrupt, utterly wicked, and most unbelieving, grossly apostate world, right under the first vial. Think about it. And this is not something limited to any particular region of the world, because it is global. Do not forget, particularly on account of the internet, the World Wide Web, and a cashless economic system, that the economy of the world has become one, and consequently, we must realize that even the regions of the earth such as the Far East, giving us nations like China and Japan, will not come under the administration of the coming Antichrist. Nevertheless, the cashless economic system will be global, for the cashless economic system will operate even in China, who today is even running ahead of the West in establishing a cashless society, as well as in surveillance and people control, being a totalitarian government, an authoritarian regime. In the same vein, although the United States of America will not be ruled by the man of sin, nevertheless, the cashless economic system will likewise be in operation in that region of the world, just as it will operate in Africa, because the economic system of the world is one, on account of the web, the internet, which simply means that people will be taking the mark and joining the image of the beast all over the globe. And as the first vial is released and noisome and grievous sores begin to break out on people around the globe, for it will literally be global, it will also break out on presidents and heads of states, just as COVID-19 has done. For COVID-19 has even killed a number of political leaders of the world, such as Ambrose Dai Ameni, the Prime Minister of Eswatini, formerly known as Swaziland, who died last year, 2020, 4 weeks after testing positive for coronavirus, COVID-19. John Magufuli, the Tanzanian president, who downplayed the pandemic and died of COVID-19. Bakayoko, the Ivorian Prime Minister, died after testing positive for COVID-19. Guy Brice Parfait-Kolelas, the Congolese opposition leader, died of COVID-19. The former President of the United States, Donald Trump, almost died of COVID-19, and the same thing also happened to Boris Johnson, the current Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, for it too almost died of COVID-19. Both the patients, as well as the medical doctors and nurses, have been dying after contracting COVID-19, because the plague does not discriminate. At the time of producing this scribe, the former United States Secretary of State, Colin Powell, an African-American, just died of COVID-19, editor. Consequently, we must understand that when the plague of the first vial breaks out, and as it is happening to the masses, so will it also break out on doctors and nurses, as well as on political leaders who have all taken the mark of the beast. So, I ask, who is going to take care of the other? And you must know that there will be no quick fix for this plague, because it is the finger of God. It is the wrath of God. Let me show you just one more example to really drive home the truth, and then we will move on. Look at the sixth plague in Egypt, the plague of boils, in the days of Moses. Saints, it pays to serve Jesus. In Exodus chapter 9, from verse 8, it is written, "And the Lord said unto Moses, and unto Aaron, take to you handfuls of ashes of the furnace, and let Moses sprinkle it toward the heaven in the sight of Pharaoh." This was so that Pharaoh would be in no doubt as to exactly what caused this plague to happen in Egypt. Are you with me? It was to let Pharaoh know the exact source, and the reason, the actual cause of it. Otherwise, he would argue, and give one scientific explanation or the other for the plague. They always do. That is fallen man for you. What can you do with them? Unbelievers will always remain unbelievers. Brothers and sisters, so that Pharaoh would know that this was the finger of God, the Lord instructed Moses, to it in his presence, and let it happen immediately. Therefore, Moses did it in the very presence of Pharaoh. The Lord instructed in verse 9, saying, "And it shall become small dust in all the land of Egypt, and shall be a ball breaking forth with blains, with sores, upon man, and upon beast, throughout all the land of Egypt." And they took ashes of the furnace, and stood before Pharaoh, and Moses sprinkled it up toward heaven, and it became a ball breaking forth with blains upon man, and upon beast. This plague struck both humans and animals. Think about it. Now watch the next verse. "Because it was a definite showdown in the day, and there is also coming a showdown at sundown." Verse 11 records, "And the magicians could not stand before Moses, because of the boils. For the boil was upon the magicians, and upon all the Egyptians." Why did the Lord do that? It was because these magicians, Jannes and Jambres, had been stoutly opposing Moses, claiming they could do whatever Moses could do, that they had the same power, using sorcery to nullify, make nothing of, the divine message of Moses. In the eyes of Pharaoh, for they belittled both his divine message and his divine power. Oh my! 2 Timothy 3 verse 8. "Hence, at this showdown in Egypt," verse 11 declares, "and the magicians could not stand before Moses, because of the boils. For the boil was upon the magicians, and upon all the Egyptians." Period. Think about it. Boils started breaking out all over their bodies. With this picture in our minds, let us now go back to Revelation chapter 16, verse 2. "Right under the first vial, brothers and sisters, and no item in grievous sore will equally break out on members of the World Council of Churches, the WCC, exactly as we have shown in the picture right here." Brother Amos points to chart 2, because they have joined the image of the beast. The "no item in grievous sore" will also break out on all those who have taken the mark of the beast, who is none other than the Pope of Rome in the Tower. Church, I do not know if it is going to be this present Pope, Pope Francis Jorge Mario Bergoglio, who will fulfill this Bible prophecy. However, whatever Pope fulfills the prophecy recorded in Daniel chapter 9, verse 27, whichever Pope makes a peace and economic covenant or pact with the nation of Israel, as a head of the European Union, is that Antichrist. Just give him 3.5 years thereafter, for right from the middle of the week, he will become another man entirely. Please, saints, we must know that the seven vials do not all happen together at the same time, because man must feel the terrible effects of the vials. The essence of the first vial is that man should suffer their own disgust. For they have spat in the face of God, they have ridiculed and blasphemed his name, they have blasphemed his word, they have trampled upon his word, and outlawed, banned, the preaching of the Holy Bible, and they have even burned the Holy Bible itself, and have persecuted and killed the saints, both Jews and Gentiles. So, this is now time for God to show them, "You two are equally disgusting to me. Let me show you just how disgusting you are." No item in grievous sores will break out on them, and it does not matter whether they live in a spectacular mansion, or even in a palace, or in a $20 million mansion, as God does not care for all that. Boils will break out all over their bodies, and they will seriously soil and dirty their expensive bed linen, which will stink from the oozing pus of their divine affliction. Therefore, we must all understand that the vials are not all poured out in one day. Just forget that, for it is totally not like that. These vials must all have their effects, even though they have been poured out one after the other. It is God wanting man to now pay for his evil ways. It is payback time. It is payday. And God is the one that is making man pay, as only he can. Amen. Church, we will now move on to consider the second vial. Revelation chapter 16, verse 3 states, "And the second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, giving us a red-purple coloration, and every living soul," meaning every living creature, every living thing, "died in the sea." I wonder what the conservationists will do in that day, when the second vial is poured out. They think they are the ones in charge of the planet, as if they are the ones who made it, but they are not. I am not saying or inferring that we should not be responsible for how we use our planet, as we should be responsible. However, when all they care about is the planet, and they do not want to realize that it has a creator, then, I have say, they think they are the ones in charge of the planet, but they most certainly are not. For God Almighty, the Creator, is the one in charge of this immensely beautiful blue planet that He alone made. I also wonder what the animal rights movement will do in that day. Do not forget that the sea in the Middle East alone gives us the Mediterranean Sea, the Red Sea, the Arabian Sea, the Persian Gulf Sea, the Caspian Sea, and the Black Sea. And we saw that under the second trumpet, during the first half of the week, in the days of Moses and Elijah, the sea in the Middle East was turned into blood, and one-third of marine life, marine creatures, died. Now, under the second vial, during the second half of that week, the seas, all seas, are simply turned to blood. And now, this is global. That was why the chief apostle said, "It is just more blood. It is just blood added unto blood." You can only imagine the astronomical and humongous number of sea creatures that will die, for they will be in there untold billions and trillions. Are you with me? Because now, this is global. Just how can marine life exist without oxygen and other necessary elements, which the blood will surely take out? We earlier saw what those in the Middle East experienced under the ministry of the two Jewish prophets during the sounding of the second trumpet. So, now under the second vial, God takes it and lifts it high, for He magnifies it, applying it now on a global scale. Hence, once the second angel releases his vial, the second vial, the sea turns red. Someone may say, "I do not believe it, Brother Amos." Just wait till then. You do not need to believe it. However, brothers and sisters, we have portrayed this vial right here on our chart. Brother Amos points to chart 2, where the sea turns to blood, under the second vial. Since, what happens once the second vial is poured out upon the sea, standing for seas, a collective noun, verse 3 records. "And it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea." That is a colossal and unimaginable volume of deaths, as we look in our sea creatures of all species. It is just like in the days of Noah, when all the birds, and all the animals, and all the human beings, perished in the flood, and God had to preserve life in the ark. Only those human beings, animals, and birds in the ark survived, and all else perished. Is that right? It is absolutely. That was why God had to preserve birds, animals, and man, in order to repopulate the earth after the flood. You can imagine in the day, in Noah's day, how many creatures of God perished, all on account of man's iniquitous, evil, wicked, and violent ways. And now look at the judgment of blood. Just how can marine creatures live in blood? It costs out oxygen. It chokes them, and they die. They have to. They cannot even see in the blood. You can only imagine the colossal death of marine life, the trillions and trillions of sea creatures that will die, and still all on account of the iniquitous, evil, wicked, violent, and godless ways of man. How can this happen, you may ask? It is simply because the God who created all things, the God you deny exists, can do it. He can do what He likes with what He alone has created. He can kill, and He can make alive, for He is the Lord God. You did not create them. God did. Oh, how the world loves these creatures of God. How they love them, but not the Creator. How they love the creatures of God, and how they will go to any lengths to preserve their lives. Yet, they do not want to believe that these living things have a Maker, who is God, the author of life, all life. Oh my! The bottom line is that God can do what He likes with His creation. Full stop. The Holy Bible prophetically declares, "And every living soul died in the sea." That is extremely serious and inconceivable. And the stench, the incredible stench, it will create. The pertinent question now is this: when the second vial is poured out, I wonder what sea creatures humanity is going to eat. Where is the fish? The Lord just took away the jobs of the fishermen. The fishing industry is simply shut down globally. You did not hear what I said. The fishing industry is shut down. So, what do restaurants serve in the day? We may well also ask, what are the animal rights movement and the conservationists going to do in the day, as they are the ones obviously fighting for and conserving what they believe they put here on the planet Earth? I am not saying conservation is not good, but when your conservationism takes you overboard and you cannot see that the things you are trying to conserve have a maker, then you make yourself a fool, because you did not put those things here. You met them here, and the God who put them here can do what he likes with them, just as he did in the days of Noah. Brothers and sisters, the second vial does not touch the rivers, it only touches the sea. Let me say it in this way. You have to see that whatever is moving or living in the seas and oceans in the day is dead. Whatever is moving in the sea or ocean in the day is terminated. We must make this application to include the oceans for a number of scriptural reasons, and I am setting forth this issue in case someone queries its application. Since, in the first instance, and as we have stated a good number of times, we must realize that the seven vials are global, not regional, as we had under the first four trumpets, whose effects were limited to the Middle East, all on account of the apostasy of the nation of Israel. Consequently, the word sea must take on a global application to include and take in the oceans. Secondly, when we consider the eternal age as laid out in deep prophecy in Revelation chapter 21, verse 1, the term sea, as used in this verse of scripture, covers seas and oceans, even as it is written, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." The sea, as used in this prophetic passage, gives us nothing other than seas and oceans, or large bodies of water. Because as it stands today, the earth's crust, or the surface of the earth, is two-thirds underwater, which will be reclaimed for use in the eternal age, when we will no longer have seas, which takes in oceans. Thirdly and finally, in the entire Holy Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, there is no place where the term ocean is used, an incontestable fact, which confirms the sea covers oceans in certain prophetic respects, depending on the content of the prophecy. Consequently, when we are dealing with the seven vials, saints of God, we are looking at God's seven last plagues on planet Earth, and as such, the use of sea has to be seen in a global context, culminating on the day of the Lord, when fire torches everything, a truth we shall also bring out shortly, by the grace of God. With this issue laid out, we will now move on to the next vial. This brings us to the consideration of the third vial, where verse 4 records, "And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood." This is a picture we have conveyed on our chart. Brother Amos points to chart 2, where the river turns to blood. For God has now touched man's source of drinking water, rivers, and fountains of water, including ponds and streams. Brothers and sisters, we also saw this under the third trumpet, during the first half of the week, when the Lord used a similar plague, but it was limited in its application to just one-third of the earth, for it was only in the Middle East. Now God takes the same plague, during the second half of that week, and multiplies it, and applies it globally. Now, there is an extreme global water shortage, creating acute thirst for water, drinking water. And what can man do without drinking water? Just what can you cook without water? How can man survive, exist, without drinking water? Just imagine the misery. Hospitals without water, schools without water, homes without water, offices without water. This is drinking water which the third vial affects, as God also turns it to blood. He not only touches the seas and oceans, but he now also touches the drinking water, the rivers, the streams, and the fountains of water. All life in these rivers will also die, and this will create an enormous and incredible stench, a serious stench. The Lord did it before in Egypt, in the days of Moses. Exodus chapter 7, verses 14 to 21 provides, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened, he refuseth to let the people go. Get thee unto Pharaoh in the morning, Lo, he goeth out unto the water. And thou shalt stand by the river's brink against Sichom, and the rod which was torn to a serpent shalt thou take in thine hand. And thou shalt say unto him, The Lord God of the Hebrews hath sent me unto thee, saying, Let my people go, that they may serve me in the wilderness. And, behold, hitherto thou wouldest not hear. Thus saith the Lord, In this thou shalt know that I am the Lord. Behold, I will smite with the rod that is in mine hand upon the waters which are in the river, and they shall be turned to blood. And the fish that is in the river shall die, and the river shall stink, and the Egyptians shall loath to drink of the water of the river. And the Lord spake unto Moses, Say unto Aaron, Take thy rod, and stretch out thine hand upon the waters of Egypt, upon their streams, upon their rivers, and upon their ponds, and upon all their pools of water, that they may become blood, and that there may be blood throughout all the land of Egypt, both in vessels of wood, and in vessels of stone. And Moses and Aaron did so, as the Lord commanded, and he lifted up the rod, and smote the waters that were in the river, in the sight of Pharaoh, and in the sight of his servants, and all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood. And the fish that was in the river died, and the river stank. And the Egyptians could not drink of the water of the river, and there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt. This is exactly what is also going to come upon this evil world. Now, under the third vial, the Lord is simply saying to the whole earth, Since you do not want me, and I made all things, let me see how you survive. Saints of God, horrible and horrendous things are in store for this evil world, in the last half of the week. Thank God we are not going to be here. Look at verse 5. And I heard the angel of the water say, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art, and was, and shall be. A declaration that is made, because God is still incarnate in Jesus the Christ, because thou hast judged us. They are blessing God for a perfect judgment. And exactly why is God giving humanity blood to drink? Why is God doing this? It is simply payback time. And the next verse gives us this very fact. Verse 6. For they have shed the blood of saints. And nobody is talking about it. There is absolutely no religious group of people on this planet tonight, persecuted and killed every day, without anybody raising eyebrows, like Christians. There is no religious group of people on the planet this evening as we speak, being persecuted and killed with impunity, and with nobody batting an eyelid, as a Christians. You do not hear about it on CNN. You do not hear about it on BBC. You do not hear about it anywhere. The mainstream news media are usually quiet about it, for they do not care about Christians, as we are not wanted here. However, just let one Muslim be killed, and every major news media will carry it. Just look at what is going on in the northern part of Nigeria as we speak. Look at what Boko Haram is doing, killing Christians, bombing churches and religious ceremonies, and kidnapping Christian girls and boys, forcing to become Muslims. Also, these Islamic hordes, called Fulani Katureras or herdsmen, are killing Christians in the most barbaric and dastardly ways. Under the guise of Katureraing, the Fulani Islamic cattle herdsmen are foot soldiers of Islam, for they are engaged in serious jihadist Islam. They claim they are only about grazing cattle, my foot, meaning that is a blatant lie. Brothers and sisters, the only thing is that they are not bargaining for the plan God has for this country, Nigeria, because of the bride of Christ. So, we do not care for them, because at the end of the day, the will of God is what will prevail. They want to Islamize Nigeria, but it will not work. There is a trump card, and it is called the divine plan of God for the royal bride of Jesus Christ. That is a trump card. They do not know that, and they do not need to know. Have faith in God, and hold your peace, but in prayer, lifting this issue before the throne of God. We will take verse 6 again. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink. For they are worthy. Yes, they are truly worthy indeed. For God has borne so much with this evil humanity, and for so long, offering man eternal life freely, through Jesus Christ, but they stoutly spurn it, and reject it, and they blaspheme God, call him all sorts of names, and make jest and trample upon the word of God. They are now using laws, or righteous laws, to ban preaching against iniquity and abominable sexual desires. However, we will be preaching against that abominable nonsense. What a world of moral perverts, a twisted-minded generation of people. We will preach against all iniquitous sexual desires and against all perverted, base, twisted lifestyles, such as the LGBTQ lifestyle. They can call it hate preaching all they want to, just because they want to be comfortable in their iniquity, knowing deep down in their souls that it is wrong. But they just do not want to be told that what they are doing is wrong, when it is even abominable iniquity, which God will most certainly judge. If we may even ask, on what basis do the courts in the West condemn and punish pedophilia, which is sexual preference for little children, minors, and also punish necrophilia, which is irresistible sexual attraction to dead bodies, and equally condemn and punish bestiality, which is having sexual activities with animals when they are exactly the same twisted, perverted, repulsive, and unnatural sexual desires as that of homosexuality, lesbianism, and bisexuality. Come on! Homosexuality is not a racial or biological issue, but strictly one of sexual desire, sexual preference, pure and simple, and is precisely why we have homosexuals in all races. What a demonic generation of humanity! They are turning the whole of humanity on its head, because of a small, perverted class of people, for they want the whole of humanity to be in acceptance of these abominable and repugnant lifestyles, and to make these degenerates comfortable in doing what even animals will not do. May I warn whoever cares to listen, if God judged and destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah on account of homosexuality, make no mistake about it. This generation will not escape the judgment of God. You can call us hate preachers all you want, I care less for that. The Holy Bible condemns iniquity, and hence, we will also condemn iniquity. At least, and as we have it in Ezekiel 9 verse 4, we will be counted with those who condemned what the Supreme God of the universe condemns in no unclear terms in the Holy Bible, as abominable, and for which reason he violently overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah, pouring out fire and brimstone from heaven. And fire is also coming. You can do what you want with us. The fact still remains that we will not pacify or appease abominable iniquity. As believers, true Christians, we do not pacify or appease iniquity, not to speak of abominable iniquity. You can call us anything you want to. It makes no difference to the Word of God, for by the Holy Scriptures, iniquity remains condemned, carrying the assured wages of death in the lake of fire. I will not be careful in calling the LGBTQ lifestyle an abominable iniquity, for that is exactly what it is, and I do not care what you think on this issue, or what you feel, because iniquity bears no other name, for iniquity remains iniquity. And God will judge it, and He will judge it most severely. Saints, when the third angel pours out his third vial, God touches the drinking water, all sources of drinking water, and He gives mankind blood to drink. It is simply payback time for all they have done to the saints, both the Jewish saints and the Christians, as well as the prophets and the apostles of God. With this laid out, we will move straight to consider the fourth vial, but that will be in the next segment of The Scribe. The Lord bless you. The Scribe Magazine Production Team. Apostle Amos Amoboriowo. Author. Sister. Joyce Amoboriowo. Editor. Pastor Victor Cole Showers. First proofreader. Brother. Jerry Ovo. Second proofreader. Sister. Bonmi Hadele. Transcriber. Brother. Johnson Equinolo. Format layer. Brother. Jason and Brother. Mark Amoboriowo. Graphics. Brother. Deepora Lokanola. Scribe web designer and manager. Brother. Anselm Naji, Brother. Chris Doa, and Brother. Olabisi Olowo. Million staff.